in that same thought tonight. Taking our text tonight, let's just turn back to Ezekiel chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 6, and because we're going to come back to this passage tonight. Ezekiel chapter 6, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, and prophesy unto them." Now this morning I said in verse number 2 that might be a literal mountain. It might be just dirt. I know that many times in the scriptures the word mountain refers to the kingdom of God. I know that that's so. But this might be, and I'll show you tonight, I think, how I'm thinking. In verse number 3, "And say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and the rivers, and to the valleys, Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places. And your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols. And I will scatter your bones round about your altars. And all your dwelling places and cities shall be laid waste. The high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. And your idols may be broken and cease. Your images shall be cut down, and your works may be abolished. And the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." God is going to show the nation of Israel that He is the Lord. He is God. We started there this morning. We got over into the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, speaking here about the Valley of Dry Bones. We didn't preach all the things that pertain unto that. There's lots of different things that you could notice about this Valley of Dry Bones. But we got down, and we're going to read verse number 14 again. We read Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 13 this morning, and made some kind of comments on those verses. But in verse number 14, he said, "I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Let's go, Lord, if you would, in a word of prayer. Our precious Father, I pray, Lord, tonight that you might help me, Lord, that I might declare your truth, your way again. And Lord, I know, Lord, that only your will might be done. Lord, I do pray that I might be in the center of that will. I pray just forgive us for our sins, watch over us, keep us, Lord, close to you, open our ears, that we might be able to hear, might be able to see and understand these great truths that you've given to us. Forgive us, Father. Watch over us. Watch over those that are lost and bring them to you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. In verse number 14, when God puts all these valleys of the dry bones together, and the Bible says that in verse number 8, that when he puts them all together, they are together, but there's no breath in them. And then Ezekiel is told to prophesy to the wind, and he does. And the wind comes and gives them a spirit. They're able to stand on their feet and live. The Bible says in verse number 14, "I will put my spirit in you, and ye shall live." I mean, not just have physical life. I don't think he's talking about just physical life. But I think that he's talking about how that he's going to change their everything about them. It's going to be like when you were lost. And then the Lord saved your soul and you saw things in a different way than you ever saw them before. It'll thrill your soul. That's what these people are going to experience. But there's going to be a bunch of them. A bunch of these people. It may be. I don't know. But it may be. When he talks here in verse number 12 and verse 13, that he'll take these people out of their graves. You could take that as being a place where the dead body is put. You could also take it as being a place where that they just don't have any understanding. You can take it that way. But I know this, that there's many Jews that lived a long time ago that were saved. Many of the Jews were lost. Just because they were Jew didn't mean they had a special place at all. I know that. Many Jews turn their backs upon Jesus. Many Jews turn their back upon David the king. You remember that? There were many Jews that followed false kings that was set up over them. And they loved that. Just like today, there's many that love false ways. There's many Gentiles in our political system that love false ways and idols and all that kind of stuff. They love that. But God does not like that at all. And so here when he says in verse number 14, I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. That's talking about real spiritual life that these people will have. And I believe they're going to have this when Jesus comes again. And when they see that he is the one that they missed, and they worshiped the Lord. He said, I shall place you in your own land. He's going to put them in the land of Israel. Then shall you know that I and the Lord have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So here is just a time when the Lord's going to wake them up and show them the truth. And verse number 15, look at this. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, so here's a different word that the Lord sent. It's not the same word. The Bible said in verse 15, and the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying. So this is a different thing. It's linked, but it's a different saying. In verse number 16, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick. So he got one stick with the name Judah on it. He said, then I want you to take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. So there's two sticks here representing, I think, the tribe of the tribes of Judah, the tribe of Israel. You're going to put those back together. Verse number 17. And join them one to another under one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, what wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Here's what I want you to say unto them. Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel and his followers, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. And the sticks whereof thou writest shall be in thine hand, before thine eyes. And so here God, in this time, God is going to put the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah back together. And they should be one people. That it's a total reuniting of these two divided peoples. Israel went into captivity in the year 722. Judah went into captivity in the year 606. The different nations, they were scattered. But God said, I'm going to put them back together. I'm going to do that. It's remarkable. They've been scattered throughout this whole world. And the Bible tells us that God will get some out of this nation, and every nation upon the face of this earth, and God will bring them all together. Only God can do that. Only God knows exactly where they are. And God is able to do that. In verse number 21, it doesn't stop there. It does not stop there. The Bible says in verse 30, in chapter 37, verse number 21, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them as every on every side, and bring them into their own land. So here God is saying that regardless of where the Israelites or the Judahites have gone to, God's going to go and bring them back unto himself, and they shall be one people. Notice that the children of Israel took refuge. They went to a place where they thought they would be safe. They went to the heathens. This is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for us to find refuge among the heathen. It's not a good thing at all. There is no hope there because there's only despair, and God will bring his judgment upon the heathen as well as ourselves. So where are we going to find refuge? Run to the Lord. The Bible says he's like an old mother hen. And when that chicken hawk comes, they'll fluff up his feathers, and you see those little chicks, they run under those feathers. And they're safe. That's what God said. He said, I wish that Israel was like that. I wish they would run to me. I would give them safety. I'd give them help. But they won't run. In verse number 22, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be to them all. One king. And they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. So I think all those passages make it very clear that God is going to take the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, and put them back together into one and give them one king. That's it. Notice again, verse number 23. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them so that they be my people, and I will be their God. And so God is going to fix it so that one day all of the Jews, whatever nationality they are, or whatever nationality they've gone to, all the Jews that are Israelites or Judahites, you're going to bring them back, and then they will find safety in the Lord. Notice in verse number 24. The Bible says, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my statutes and observe my statutes and do them. Who is David? Well, he's the king of Israel, right? But notice in this verse, David is going to be the king. Who's going to be the shepherd? The Bible says, And David my servant shall be a king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. The shepherd is the one that looks over everything. He's the one that looks over all the flock. David, the Bible says right there, shall be king. But there's going to be a shepherd even over him. Who's the shepherd? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. All these people in authority will look only to the Lord. That's why we say that we ought to seek the face of the good Lord every day. We ought to pray to God. God will always answer your prayers. He always will. The Bible said in verse 25, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant. I wonder where they're going to live. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Where do you think they're going to live? In the land that God gave to Jacob my servant. Where's that? In the land of Israel. That land is theirs. It will be theirs in perpetuity. It will be theirs. In verse number 25, continuing. Wherein your fathers have dwelt. So that's real plain where they're going to be. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children. And then the word is forever. They're going to be there. So I don't understand how in the world that all those people can dwell in Israel, and there's going to be generations of people there. How's that all going to work? Don't you think God has got that figured out? You know, today we have people in our world that are a little silly because they're trying to figure out what they're saying, first of all, is that there's too many people on this earth. You heard that? That is silly. Somebody says, well, there's not enough water for everybody. How much water is in the heavens? How much water? Did you know it's been estimated that there's I gotta get these figures right. There's 100 billion gallons of water in the atmosphere. 100 million billion. So you write that out. 100 and a million is 6 zeros, then a billion is 9. That's a bunch of numbers. I don't know how many gallons that is. But some of us down here upon this earth, some of us even under this earth, you know, God is well able to have plenty of water for everybody. I'm talking about on the physical earth. If men would just get out of the way and stop trying to figure out how everything's going to work and let God do what he's going to do, he's going to do it. But the Bible says that they shall be there forever. And then, just in case you didn't get what it said in verse 24, at the end of verse 26, he says, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Just in case you didn't get it. God is good at that. He repeats himself often for us that cannot understand it or that think that can't happen that way. But God can make it work. He can make it work. In verse 26, verse 26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. And notice now, verse 26. He said, I'm going to bless them. I'm going to give a covenant of peace. It's going to be an everlasting covenant. He's saying, I won't break it and they won't break it. Never will it be broken. He says in verse 26, and I will place them and multiply them. You know, there's a difference between adding and multiplying. There's a difference in the two. Two plus two is four, and two times two is also four. Four plus four is 16, and I don't know what 16 times 16 is. I was supposed to learn that when I was in school. I didn't learn it. There's a difference in adding. Because four plus four is eight. But I don't know what... See, eight times eight is 64, right? I don't know what 64 times 64 is. I don't know that. I don't have a mathematical brain at all. I can't do that at all. Don't know it. But God's going to take care of that. He said, and I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. In verse number 25, the last word of verse 25 is forever. The last word of verse 26 is forevermore. God will set that, it's going to be settled forever. Verse 27, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. The word sanctify there means set aside. God will set them aside. They're going to be a special people unto the Lord. How long? The Bible says in verse 28, just in case you didn't get it, in verse number 25 and verse number 26, forevermore. It's done. God will do that. I'm glad that God is that kind of a God, that He can watch over, that He can bless in that way. Let's go back, if you would, to the book of Exodus, Ezekiel chapter 6, and read again verse 1 through verse number 7, or at least read verse number 7 and see this important thing here. Ezekiel chapter 6 and verse number 7. God will do this. In this time that Israel has gone away from God, and God calls to the mountains, He calls to the hills, He calls to the rivers and to the valleys, and He tells them what He will do. In verse number 7, and He said, and slain shall fall in the midst of you, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. But God doesn't stop there. 51 times in the book of Ezekiel, this phrase is found. This phrase that ye shall know that I am the Lord is found. Those specific words. In verse number 8, God says to this people of Israel, I'm going to leave a remnant. And this He does. He said, I'm going to leave a remnant that you may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations when ye shall be scattered throughout the countries. God says, there's going to be some that I'm not going to send off. There's going to be a remnant. Verse number 9, they that escape of you shall remember me among the heathen nations, whither they go shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a whoring after their idols. They shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. So even those that escape will have the power, many of them have the power of God upon them, and yet many of them won't. Many of them will have a whorish heart. Many of them will say, we have departed, like Daniel prayed at the end of the 70-year captivity. It's amazing that Daniel did not accuse the Jews. Rather, he said, I am one of the Jews. I am one of those that have done this horrible thing before God. I'm one of those, is what he's saying. Forgive us. The Bible said in verse number 10, and they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I will do this evil unto them. In verse number 10, this phrase, they shall know that I am the Lord, appears again. I told you already that it shows up 51 times in the book of Ezekiel, this little phrase. It's not by accident at all. It's their own purpose. God wants us to understand that. But even those people that go off and they're taken captive, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were taken captive. But they knew that God was one that had led them. God was one that delivered them. They knew that. And they knew that God was the only one that could deliver them then. In verse number 11, thus saith the Lord God, smite with thine hand, and stamp with thy foot, and say, alas, for all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And they shall. Stamp with the foot. This is a sign of anguish because these people know that they've gone so far away from God. He that is far off, verse number 12, he that is far off shall die of the pestilence, and he that is near shall fall by the sword, and he that remaineth and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus will I accomplish my fury upon them. You know, God brings His judgment so that people will know that He is God. God calls faithful men that we look at, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Obadiah, Jeremiah. God calls these people to be protected, and yet they were taken into captivity as well. God might do the same thing for us. I don't know what the future is. I have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I cannot visualize that at all. But I know this, that our God is able to watch over us and care for us even in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I know that God watched over Noah. God was able to protect him. Noah preached a message that people didn't want to hear, and many people did not want to hear it. There was only 8 people got on the ark. But God had Noah to build an ark for the saving of his house. Today we have a church that God wants us to understand that the church is the people. The church is not the building, but the church is the people. Get that through our head. Don't let this building take our eyes off of that. The church is the people. And God can keep us together Or God can scatter us, whatever His will is. But there'll be others that we can be a witness to in that day. In verse number 13, then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars. You can know this. You can know that I am the Lord. God says He made this earth. He intended for this earth to be used for His glory and for His honor, and that's the way it's going to be. Men can do all kinds of wicked, evil things trying to get a great following, and they will. The book of Revelation talks about how that in the end days that people will gather together against the nation of Israel, like 200 million people gather together against a tiny nation of Israel to defeat them. That day is coming. I don't know when it's coming. I'll tell you what, it don't look good. It don't look good for Israel. It don't look good for us either. It really don't. But know this. When their slain men are among their idols, round about their altars, upon every high hill, and all the tops of mountains, and under every green tree, under every thick oak, the place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. Notice the word every. The Bible talks about every high hill, every green tree, every thick oak, a place where they did offer sweet savor to all their idols. They offer those, but it was all vain. In verse number 14, so will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diptha, in all their habitations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's what God's going to do. In verse number 14, notice the word land. God will make their land desolate. Their land. I'm referring back here in chapter 6 and verse number 3 and 4 about the mountains that God will destroy. But notice again, in chapter 7 and verse number 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, also, thou son of man, this saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel. Unto the land of Israel. I think what he's talking to is the land of Israel. He says, an end is come upon the four corners of the land. God says, this is it. In verse number 3, notice here that there's a difference in the conversation. Now is the end come upon thee, saith the Lord. And I will send mine anger upon thee, and will judge thee according to thy works, and will recompense unto thee all these abominations. God is not only going to judge the land, as He has, but God will also cause it to prosper. Land by itself is not able to bring forth any kind of produce at all. Land by itself will not. It will just be there. There's a fellow a while back in Texas. He had 5,500 acres of dry land. And it was dry. There was no water in it. He dug like, I think it's either 5 or 6 wells, had it drilled down to 500 feet, And there was nothing but dust that came out. Nothing. And all he did to change that around was to plant grass, a special kind of grass that had deep roots. And that grass went down and began to bring up the water. And the water came up. And now, in that 5,500 acres, there's lakes, running water, almost everywhere. God can do the same thing to the nation of Israel. And he has done it over there to a point. But God will do even more than that, because he can make that land prosperous and well. God can do all of that. He said in verse number 4, "And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways upon thee." So God is saying that I've given you what you have done. I want to say deserve, but God has not given what people deserve. He's not. But he's given according to their own ways. They have not sought the Lord, and he has caused great dearth among them. He said, "And thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." In verse number 4, that last phrase there, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord." And all these places, there's many places like this in the book of Ezekiel. If you'd read it and understand that God is doing this right before our very eyes. He's able to work it all out. I'm glad that that's the kind of God that we serve. The conclusion of all of these torments and all these things that are coming is found in the book of, well, let's read some more of this, in the book of Ezekiel 7 and verse number 23. Ezekiel 7, verse 23. He said, "Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Therefore, I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, their holy places to be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the lost shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients." God is well able to make this so that there's no place for them to turn. And he will do that. He wants us to seek his face and to see his power and his might and the things that he can do. He wants Independence Baptist Church to see that. He wants us as individuals to see that. He is well able to provide for us and do more than we ever thought about. Let us not hinder him at all. In verse 27, he said, "The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation. The hands of the people of the land shall be troubled." In verse number 27, there's a chain of command here. The king shall mourn. The prince shall be clothed with desolation. The hands of the people shall be troubled. Nothing anybody can do about it. There's nothing anybody can do. He says in the middle part of verse 27, "I will do it to them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them. And they shall know that I am the Lord." Over and over again, this phrase, "they shall know that I am the Lord," shows up. Sometimes it's because of chastisement. Sometimes it's because of bitterness of heart. The people have nowhere to turn. Everything they've tried is just blown away. It's just turned to ashes. And they know that it's so. But knowing that God is God is a very good thing. Because in that day, God is one that can make dry bones come back together. And God is one that can cause dry bones to become a body. And God is the one that can give life where there is no life at all. God is the one. How much should we look unto the Lord? Not as much as you can, but more than you can. Trust God for everything. Look to God. That's what Israel failed to do. And sometimes that's exactly what we fail to do as well. We fail to look to God. God wants us to look to Him and trust Him. And He can supply for us. But these mountains that He's talked about, God's going to bring them back. He's going to bless in that land. I'm thankful for it. If you're lost today, we pray for you. You know, when you're lost and there's no hope for you at all, when you think, I've done everything I can do, let God do what He can do. Quit trying. Give it up. Trust the Lord. Let Him do the work in you that you can't do in yourself. You can't do it. You can't save yourself. You trust the Lord. That's what we need to do. Lost people need to do that, and saved people certainly do need to trust the Lord more and more every day. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer as you would as we dismiss, before we have a song. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You might bless today Your Word. Lord, I pray that You might give us understanding of it, that You might help us to be enjoying it, knowing, Lord, that You're God. You can provide things for us that we don't know of. Lord, I pray that You just forgive us for our sins, bless and keep us from harm. Watch over us, Lord, in this wicked day in which we live. I pray, Lord, that all of our defenses would be upon You and not upon ourselves at all. Lord, I know that our defenses will fall. Lord, Yours never will. I pray You just keep us safe in Your eternal arms. I pray You might guide us and keep us, that we might always do what You want us to do. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Okay, brother.